Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. Now it seems that just as soon as Daniel began this prayer, the command came forth to Gabriel, and I am come forth to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. I had someone ask me today, what do you think that we're going to do when we get to heaven? What are we all going to be doing? Just sitting around and singing and just nothing, resting? And in light of what the angels do, the fact that the angels seem to be very busy and very powerful beings, I rather doubt that we're going to be just doing nothing. I think we're going to be busy persons in the work of the Lord, whatever that happens to be, which could include this whole universe. Because if you see here, he says at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. In other words, Gabriel was given a command. There's something to do, Gabriel. Gabriel could have said, oh, I just don't feel like doing anything today. I'm going to relax. He had to do something. As soon as Daniel began to supplicate, a command was given to Gabriel. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. And no doubt of all the persons in captivity, we have much evidence to make us think that Daniel was one that was greatly beloved. He is one that the Lord thought very highly of. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. The key to this, of course, is to understand what he means by the 70 weeks. We've seen how that they were to be in captivity for 70 years. But now we're looking at something that says 70 weeks. The Jews had a time in which every seventh week was known as a sabbatical year. Excuse me, every seventh year was as a sabbatical year. And so they would have 6 years, and then the seventh would be a sabbatical year. Excuse me. So they would have 6 years that would be regular years, and the seventh year would be the sabbatical year. And then every 50th year, which would be a series of these of seven of these sabbatical years, every 50th year would be a year of jubilee. And the land was allowed to lay out during this time. And if I'm not mistaken, on every 50th year, it went back to its original owner. So if you bought a piece of land or bartered for it or acquired it in some way that had just, say, 4 years to go until the year of Jubilee, that would only be your land for 4 years. Then it had to go back to its original owner. So there was no way that these people could really ever be completely beaten out of their homestead or their homeland. So we had then, under that system, what was known as a week of years. That is, every 7 years was really a week of years. And the seventh year being the year of rest, in which the land wasn't tilled. Well, in speaking of this week of years, as he speaks of 70 weeks here, this would be 70 weeks of seven-year period. So what it really is 7 times 70. And it would amount then to 490 years. So he says, 70 weeks, or that is 490 years, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So he's telling Daniel that his people are going to be given a 490-year period. Or that is 70 weeks. And we're going to see now what this is going to include. But what he's really saying is that your people are only going to have 490 more years until my will is going to be accomplished. There's only going to be that much time until the Messiah will come. And this is what's going to happen now after that 70-year period. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And he names six things. One is to finish the transgression. Some of the commentators say that this word finish means to restrain, and it means that it will end the transgression. All right, number two, and to make an end of sins. And they also translate this phrase, end of sins, as meaning sin offerings. That is to make an end of sin offerings, which what these people, these Jews, would do in their daily worship. They no longer have to make sin offerings. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, which of course we know that Christ did do. He reconciled man to God, man who was an enemy to God. He reconciled him. Reconciled man's iniquity, that man had been separated because of his iniquity, and so this reconciliation was made because of the iniquity that separated him. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and of course Christ did issue in the beginning of the end time, the time in which God would make a covenant with his people that they would know him. And he would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. It would be an everlasting kingdom. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, that's the fifth thing. To seal up the vision and the prophecy probably means to complete all of the prophecies and all of the visions that related to the coming of Christ, to the coming of the Messiah. When he came, he would seal them up. That is, he would fulfill them. He would fill them up. Now, some interpret this to mean that he would end all visions and all prophecies. And that's an interesting way to look at this, because if that's the case, then it means that this 70-week period would have to go until the last New Testament writer had finished writing, which would be about 96 A.D., whenever the book of Revelation was written. That's when all prophecy was ceased. No longer did we have any more prophecy given after that. So it's interesting to see which way this goes. And I'm not going to claim to know all the meaning of these last five verses here, because they get very complicated, and it seems each translator translates them a little bit differently and rearranges the phrases. One will leave some phrases out, another will put all the phrases in, but they don't put them all in the same places. And so it changes the meaning drastically. And lastly, and to anoint the most holy. Which, of course, to anoint means to set into office. Christ was set into the office of sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he assumed the position as the king and as the ruler of his kingdom. So let's read those six things now. To finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins or sin offerings, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's what would be accomplished during this 70-week period, but we know as we read on that it was accomplished during the last, very last part of it. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now here's what he's telling Daniel. Here you are captive in Babylon, but from the time that the command is given for you to go and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah is going to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks, which is 483 years. Now let's look just for a moment. There was two or three commands given about going and rebuilding the temple, but the one that was the one that really counted and the one that Ezra given in the year 450 BC, the king Artaxerxes, and I want to read this from Ezra. I'm not going to read all of this Ezra 7 because the whole thing is from verse 9 through verse 26. Verse 9, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. And verse 13, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites and in my realm which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem to go with thee. So the decree was that all who are minded to go can go with you. They can go up to Jerusalem, but it has to be of their own free will, and they can go with you. Now this was the decree, the command given to go forth then and to rebuild Jerusalem. And then this whole seventh chapter really is related to it, but I just read a few verses. But what this verse 25 is saying, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, that's the period now it's going to be, from the giving of that command until the Messiah will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks, which is 483 years of time. Now, the scholars say that this command was given by Ezra in 457 B.C. Now you take 457 B.C. and you add to that 483 years and you get 26 A.D. And the scholars also say that it was in the year 26 A.D. in the very same month that Ezra gave the command that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. So it's a period of time that the best chronologists have calculated to be almost identical a period that he states here. Not just about or approximate, but an identical period of time. 483 years. But now, it's not as simple for us to figure out as it sounds like it's going to be, because there's some complications here. And it's just a matter of our being able to understand. It's difficult to understand. So it's going to be from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now this 7 week period, which was a 49 year period, they also state that whenever they started to rebuild Jerusalem until they completely had it finished and ready to occupy, that it took exactly 49 years, which would be the 7 weeks that he says here, the 7 week period. And then from that time until Christ was the 62 week period, which is 434 years. And so that's exactly the way he has it divided. He's got it divided into three periods, a 7 week period, a 62 week period, and a 1 week period. So the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. That's speaking there of the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. It would be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that would be this 434-year period after the city was completed, which you have to add the 49 years onto that, which is 483 years. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So after this period then, and it doesn't say exactly how long after this period, but after this period, the Messiah would be cut off. Which, of course, we know that that did happen. And this is prophesying about it happening and telling the time when it's going to happen. Now let's look back again there at verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. He's telling Daniel, Daniel, you've got 70 weeks or 490 years for your people. And at the end of that time, of course, they would cease to be the people of God. They would cease to be the holy nation because the other kingdom then would be established by Christ. It's given in rather round numbers, but it was fulfilled in rather round numbers. So after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now this phrase, not for himself, I'm at a loss to really explain it because the little commentaries that I have don't even mention it. The American translation says that this phrase should be translated, he'll not have a successor. Nobody will succeed him. And the people of the prince. Now, here's where some of the wording can be mixed up and made to mean different things. But this word prince here is not the same as the word prince in verse 25 in that it's not capitalized. And so many of the scholars feel that this prince here is talking about Titus, who came in AD 70 and destroyed the temple. And the people of the prince would be the Roman citizens who were his soldiers, who were working with him and for him. And the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Very difficult passage to translate and to apply, but it does seem to fit the idea that he is talking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, which would be Titus, who was a prince, who did come with his people and do this very thing that's said to be done here. Now in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now this would be talking about Christ then, the Messiah. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now remember we said that we added up to 69 weeks or 483 years. That would be until the coming of Christ. But then what about this 1 week period, this 7 year period that he speaks of here? There's several ways this can be looked at. Number one, this 7 year period in which he confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. That in all probability is talking about the ministry of Jesus combined with the ministry of John the Baptist, each having about a 3.5 year period, making a 7 year period, in which they did confirm the covenant. Jesus said, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He didn't teach anybody to break the covenant. He confirmed it for 1 week, or for the 7 year period. Now we get into more difficulties. And in the midst of the week, that is, in the midst of this 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, some want to say, well, of course, John the Baptist taught for 3.5 years, and then whenever Jesus began his ministry, that's when they stopped the law. He caused the law to stop right in the middle of the 7-year period, and he began the new law. But we know from plain factual teaching in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and other parts of the New Testament, that he didn't end the law then. He ended the law on the cross. Some say, well, what he really means by this seven-year period is that Jesus fulfilled 3.5 of those years during his ministry, and then 37 years later, the other 3.5 was fulfilled whenever Jerusalem was destroyed. If that's really what he's talking about when he says he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, because it really did, once and for all, cease at that time. But yet another says that the proper translation of this midst of the week, that midst of the week, and I can't find the word that he uses in Young's Concordance. I'm very limited as to my source material. But he says that the midst of the week just simply means that during the latter part of the week, or the 7-year period. It doesn't have to be the middle of it exactly, or the center of it, but just during the latter half of it. Any time during the latter half of it, this could happen. And that's what I really think this means. To me, it seemed to be more logical. The 7-year period was the ministry of John the Baptist and the ministry of Christ, and during the midst or the latter half of that 7-year period, he did cause the oblation and the sacrifice to cease. The temple became ineffective for doing worship to God. The veil in the temple was rent. The law was nailed to the cross and was taken out of the way, and it no longer applied then to us for salvation. But another thought went fleeting through my mind that none of the commentators that I read after even mentioned, and that is, if perhaps this 7-year period was really a period which meant that each year stood for 10 years, and so it really becomes a 70-year period, and that would make it go from 26 A.D. to 96 A.D., and in the midst of that, which is 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed, and at the end of that, which would really fulfill the full 70 weeks, at the end of that then, he sealed up the vision and the prophecy, that there was no more prophecy given, no more vision given to man after John's revelation, book of Revelation, then that would also be a fulfillment and symbolically take care of all of the times. And as I said in the beginning, I don't claim to know all of the answers to this. But we have enough evidence to know that this 70 week directed to the coming of Christ names the time out variably. There's no problem for us to, for all of the calculator or the chronology to do that very thing. And it's remarkable that Daniel could have received this prophecy and have had it fulfilled to the letter so completely whenever the people hadn't even left their captivity yet. So I'm going to start with verse 27 and read it over now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I think this has reference to the doing away of the law, of course. To the people missing him as the Messiah because of their sins, because of the abominations, and it ultimately was fulfilled when the temple was destroyed in AD 70, whenever it was an abomination, made a place of abomination by the desecration done to the temple by the invading armies of Titus. You know, last time or time before last, we spoke of what Josephus had said about Titus going and his army going in and putting their symbols on the walls of the temple, and as though they just turned it into a place where they could kind of use it to their own pleasure. So we have here, as we said in the beginning, a very remarkable prophecy in this ninth chapter of Daniel, the 70 weeks. And to me, it just further enhances all that we know about the fact that the Bible truly is inspired of God. It is the truth. It is infallible. It has these things laid out for us in such a way that if we just simply halfway are willing to see, we can see. Anybody have any questions or any comments on the chapter tonight? Well, if not, we'll conclude there. Now remember, next week, Lord willing, we're going to have our meeting with Brother Larry Robertson, and so we'll not have our Tuesday night study the next week then.